Hello, and welcome to this podcast episode from Bethel Church. Today's message from Pastor Kyle helps us to realize the different ways Christ is King over our lives. And we apologize in advance for the glitch in the recording, but the message continues after that. Please stay tuned.
You know, many times we claim that Jesus is Lord or King over our lives, but He has a kingdom, the kingdom of God. But what exactly is the realm over which Jesus is the King? As we look at today's passage, one of the realms in which Jesus is King will become apparent. Now I'm going to be reading from John chapter 11. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to join there. And if you have them on your phone or whatnot, but we'll also have them up here on the screen. And we're going to start in John chapter 11, verses 38, and it's going to go to 46. So Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. It's important to understand a little bit. In the Roman Empire, the dead in Judah were the only ones, or one of the rare ones in that culture, to actually be buried. Everybody else was cremated. They had funeral pyres, and they would do that. So, and during this period, in Judah, there were actually two burials for each person who died. The first burial is where they would take the person, the deceased, they would lie them on a linen shroud. Now, the linen shroud was about 14 feet long and 3 feet wide. They'd lay him on the shroud. The shroud would be folded over the person's head. They would take strips of linen cloth and tie the hands together at the lower torso. And they would do some same thing at the ankles. They would tie the feet together as well. They put a facial napkin around the face to help keep the mouth closed. And sometimes they would put coins on the eyelids to help keep the eyelids closed during that. So spices may or may not be placed with the body, depending on the wealth of the person too. And that would help to mitigate that odor of decay that's going to be taking place when somebody's just entombed there. Now, once the body is laid inside the tomb, the tomb was closed by a large stone, and usually it's in the shape of a wheel, and it was on a track and usually going downhill. So they'd wheel the stone down, and it would set in place there in the opening of the tomb and stay there. And then when the tomb was going to be reused, they would roll it back uphill slightly to do that. Now, this is the same way that Jesus was going to be buried just several weeks later, by the way. Now, what happens is after a year, after the body's been lying in there in the shroud for a year, they would come back, roll the stone away, collect the bones that were left there, and put them into a box, a bone box, which is called an ossuary. And the ossuary would be stored off to one side in the tomb. And now this tomb is ready for the next deceased to come along, and they could reuse the tomb over and over again. So that's kind of how they would do this during this particular culture. So picking up from this on verse 39, Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Over space. He's also the King over knowledge. And when you think about in John chapter 4, Jesus was speaking to a woman at the well. And he knew intimate details about all of her marriages and her current living arrangements with another man. And he knew all that immediately. He is King over knowledge. Jesus is King over the sick, the lame, the diseased. Jesus healed a man in the temple who had been a paralytic for 38 years. Another paralytic was dropped down through the ceiling. He healed a man who was blind from birth in chapter 9 of John. There are countless examples of Jesus healing the sick, the lame, the blind, all over the place. He never turned anyone away from healing. So we know that Jesus was king over disease. We also know that Jesus was king over the weather. The Gospels speak of an event on the Sea of Galilee when they were on a boat. Jesus was asleep in the stern of the boat. And on the way there, a storm rose up and threatened the safety of everybody. When the frightened disciples woke Jesus, he stood up and he spoke three words: "Peace, be still." And immediately the storm stopped. So Jesus is also king over weather. Another instance, Jesus walked on water, as we see in several of the accounts there, proving he had supernatural ability over the elements, like water. So Jesus was also king of the elements. God gave humankind a day of rest as part of his covenant with Israel. Remember, who up to that point had been working tirelessly for Egypt. When challenged by the religious leaders, Jesus clarified with the Pharisees that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So he was demonstrating that he was king over the Sabbath. He is also king over provisions. There were 5,000 people who were fed with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And then 4,000 people were fed with 7 loaves and a few fish. And all ate and were satisfied. So Jesus is king over provisions. And then in multiple instances, Jesus commanded his kingship over the spirit world. When he encountered demons, they were terrified. They had to obey him, and they were subject to his judgment. He is king over both the physical and the creation, as well as the spiritual realm. And then in Luke 7, Jesus raised a widow's son. In Mark 5, he raised the daughter of a synagogue official. And as we read today, in John 11, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. This demonstrates that Jesus is king over life. It seems that Jesus is king over many things. He's the king over time, space, weather, the Sabbath, the provisions, the supernatural, and life. But is he king over our lives? As Christians, we may rush to say, yes. But do we act like Jesus is king over our life? What would that look like? How would someone know that we serve our king? Do we respect and honor our king? Do we esteem him? Do we accept his teachings? Do we talk to him? You know, we should be praying to him if we honor him, and we should be praying to him often. He has written us a book on how we should live. We call it the Bible. Do we read it? He has written to us, and he wants us to be and how he wants us to live. It's all listed right in here in these scriptures. He has given us his laws. Do we read his instruction manual? Do we honor him by obeying his decrees, his laws? If he is our king, we should obey his laws. And he's given us essentially 2 basic laws. Refer to them as commandments that we are to obey. And we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind. What does loving God look like? Do we love God every day? Or do we just love God on Sundays? Some people go to church for 1 hour on Sunday so they can check the box. But they don't think about God for the other 167 hours in the week. He is a king that's with us all the time. He deserves for us to think on him throughout each day. What can we do to honor him today and every day? The second law is for us to love our neighbor as ourselves. How do we love our neighbor? Well, that was a question that Jesus answered through the Good Samaritan. Do we see others as someone for whom Jesus died? Or do we see others as something less than us? As we saw the examples in the Good Samaritan, when several people walked by, and it waited until the Samaritan actually cared for the person. Do we provide acts of kindness to others, or do we ignore those who are obviously in distress? Do we directly help those in need, or do we give money to someone else to do that for us? You know, when we help others, do they know we are extending this kindness on behalf of our King? If we were to obey these two basic laws, we would honor our King and make our lives so much easier. Our King has been incredibly gracious to us. We have cause to be thankful. And in this time of the year, we stop and we pause to give thanks. So as we approach the Thanksgiving holiday, let's be mindful of the many blessings that we have. Give thanks to our King and serve him through joyful obedience. Under the reign of Christ the King, we have much for which we should be thankful. This video reminds us of all the things for which we should be thankful when we purposely make Jesus King over our lives.
We give you thanks for this day you have made, for the breath in our lungs, for your gift of life. We give you thanks for your miraculous creation, the heavens and the earth, the wind, the rain, the warmth of the sun, the mountains and oceans formed by your hands. We give you thanks for this church, this community, this place we can call home. We give you thanks for your mercy and forgiveness, for your faithfulness and love, for the gift of your Son, and for his death and resurrection. Even in our failures, we are thankful, for your grace is sufficient. Even in our weakness, we are thankful, for your power is made perfect. Through every trial and every joy, through every struggle and every victory, not just today, but every day and in everything, we give you thanks.
So this Thanksgiving, just remember to give thanks to Jesus, our King, and look for ways that we can let him lead us as our King. Let us pray. King Jesus, Almighty God, you taught us about you and the love you have for us. We praise you for this day. We praise you for life. We thank you for your creation. We thank you for Bethel Church. We praise you for your mercy, your faithfulness, and your love. We thank you for your power, and most of all, we thank you for your grace. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Have you ever thought of that many ways Jesus displays his kingship? Think about them this week, and then join us again next week for the start of the Advent messages.